A little while back, I was talking to my brother, and he's in touch with folk who go to our old church back in England, and some of the stuff that's going on there with openness to the Holy Spirit and a little bit more intimacy with the Father stuff. Some folk are saying to the leadership, if Jeff were here now, he'd be a bit troubled by this. If you're thinking it's going a bit fast. John says, if they came and paid a visit, they'd quickly go back and say, no, it's okay, he can stay there. Clearly God's called him over there. This evening, this is that a follow-on from this morning, a mix of worship and intercession. And so what I want to do is give you some fuel for that intercession as Teresa helps to lead us through to the next bit. And I want to use as the basis of it some of the stuff that I spoke about concerning just our vision, what God is taking us into. We thought we'd do a very creative way of looking at profit and loss, because very often church meetings are about the finances, and that is about as boring as it gets for many people. Some come alive at that point, and bless you in that. Isaiah 61 and verse 1, which is the when Jesus read from the scroll in Luke's gospel, and talked about this being fulfilled. It says this: the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release for the captives. Freedom for the captives and the release from darkness for the prisoners. We're going to come back to that in a few moments. But for the church vision, our own balance sheets, I want to use them as fuel for our praying tonight. So balance, profit and loss in a new way. I had a Welsh friend who used to say this frequently. I'm not going to do it in Welsh because it will amuse you, but I won't get it right and it'll trouble me. He used to say, we come into life head first, we leave it feet first, and in between it's all a matter of balance. It's very wise, actually. It's deep, as was he. Much of the time, error in the church comes from lack of balance. One aspect of truth is emphasized to the detriment of other aspects of truth. And one of the things in this season, when God is doing new things and doing amazing things and doing wonderful things, is that it's really important to hold things in balance and hold them in tension. The balance between doing and being. The presence of God is so vitally important, but that isn't all there is. So we move out to make disciples, but we don't move out to make disciples and leave behind the presence of God. The balance between doing and being is really important. The balance between truth and love is really important. There are many times in the life of the church where love was neglected. And people spoke the truth and they said it was in love, but you knew it wasn't. And there are other times when there's been lots and lots of love, but not truth to set people free. And so there's been love and compromise. The balance between truth and love. The balance between grace and righteousness. Knowing that we have access to the Father. Knowing that as we confess and as we repent, our sins are forgiven. But knowing too that there's a call to live holy and righteous lives and to demonstrate a holy God as his children. The balance between knowledge and wisdom. It's possible to know loads and loads of things and completely lack wisdom. And in fact, sometimes knowledge seems to do that. The Bible says that knowledge puffs us up. Which makes me think of one of those frogs, you know. The balance between God's timeless word and God's today word. Because we know that we've got some standing orders about disciples, about loving God, about loving each other. But we also know that God has placed a calling and a destiny on each of us, and we want to actually know what that is too. So we don't want to be the people who need a word from God to know what socks to wear in the morning. But we do want to be people who are led into the destiny that he has for us. The balance between trust and dependence on God and personal responsibility. Because even though we know that we can't even take another breath without him, we don't depend on him to keep us alive and forget to eat or drink. We don't depend on him to keep us spiritually alive and forget to eat and drink spiritually. We take our responsibilities seriously. The balance between intimacy and reverence. What an amazing privilege it is to know God as Father. And that lovely balance that Teresa has led us in since these evenings have been that we're able to be taken into God's arms, and yet we're able to kneel at his feet. And both of those things are so important. The balance between supernatural acceleration, which is what we want. We had that sense of God speaking us today about having the wind of the Spirit at our backs, and we're going, yes, that's what we want. But also that need for perseverance and patience and pressing in and pressing on. So one of the things that's really important for us to pray for tonight, looking at the church before we look beyond the church, really is maturity. That's what we're talking about, maturity. Not just very often when people talk about maturity, they really mean getting old and boring. That's not what I'm talking about. Not that sort of maturity. Not the maturity that really is about being careful and mediocre and middle of the road. That's not maturity, that's age. The maturity means that we're totally passionate about our faith, but we don't lose our foundations. We're totally full on for Jesus, but we understand the truth that we stand on so that we won't be deceived or distracted or taken off course. So we pray for the church and we pray for ourselves here. These are crucial times for the church to stand up and the church to stand out, to shine like stars. And we need maturity to do that well, to be able to hold things wisely and intention. The other thing about the profit and loss is that we're interested in what the prophets have to say and what God speaks over us, and we're interested in the lost. That's our profit and loss account. That's how we operate as a church. Those words that were spoken about the Spirit of the Lord being on Jesus, and it speaks about him being anointed to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and listen to this, to proclaim freedom for the captives. That's really interesting, isn't it? That what he spoke came into being. He spoke that freedom that they were able to enter into. And partly what we speak, what we declare, what we proclaim, is part of the way that we cooperate with God in what he's doing. And that is hugely, hugely powerful. The truth of what's happened, the truth of what's happening versus our feeling versus our understanding. The people in our church, the people coming into our church, the people that we reach out to, they're hearing good news, they're getting healed up, they're going to hear about, they're going to believe, they're going to receive their freedom. And so part of entering into that is declaring what we believe God is doing, what we are seeing God is doing, what he's speaking out about what he's doing, what he's wanting to do, because then we can align with it, then we can sign up to it, then we can partner with it as a church. There's nothing better, is there, than knowing that you're on the winning side before you even go out to bat. This is becoming a strange thing for Australians to understand at the moment. Anyway, I won't. It's the ashes soon, isn't it? We'll just leave that. Because I don't want there to be division in the church. So, the prophets and the lost. We've had a number of prophecies recently from a number of people, and they've all been heading in the same direction. Jan, who came one of the evenings, David Wagner, the prophecies that we heard when the New Earth Tribe came. And some of the things that are of huge significance are these. The God wants to give us the lost. Especially those who are in dark places. The depressed. Those who are taken up with the occult. Those who are in spiritual darkness. Those who are suicidal. God wants to give us those. Now, there are two ways of looking at that. The one is, oh, I was hoping for an easier church than that. I think I'm going somewhere down the road where they'll talk to me about how I can make lots of money if I pray harder. That's where I'm going. There are two ways to think about it. And the other way is to go, well, if that's what God is doing, then that's what's going to happen. If that's what God is saying, then that's what's going to happen. I want some of that. So with a prophet and a loss account that we have, we don't want people to move from the red into the black. We want them to move from the black through the red into the light. From the black, people from dark places who will help lead others. People who've encountered darkness and difficulty and who God rescues and then can say, hey, I know the way. To others who say, it's helpless, they go, I used to think it was helpless. Into the red, and in the red we're talking about the blood of Jesus. And I want you to realize this morning, this evening, this afternoon, all the time, every week, every month, every year. I want you to, it's a good comeback, wasn't it, that? I want you to realize the amazing power of the blood of Jesus. Because every time you say, but you don't know what happened, I can say, yeah, but I do know about the blood of Jesus. And I will win every time. You cannot give me a situation that the blood of Jesus will not cover. You cannot give me a situation that when Jesus died and rose again, he hasn't conquered. I dare you. If you think you've got a real tough one, bring it later. There is nothing that the blood of Jesus does not cover, that his resurrection and his conquering of sin and death that we cannot enter into. No situation that you have been through, no sin that you have committed, no weakness or struggle, no curse, no vow, no nothing. I can trump that card every time. And I will. And into the light, because our sins are washed white as snow, and we are walking in the light, and we are walking in truth, and we're walking in wholeness, and we can make that offer to everyone that we come in contact with. Trouble is, we've had a kind of gospel that goes a bit like this. Come to our shiny church, where there are shiny, happy people, and you can be shiny and happy too. And there are two things we do. One is we don't talk to people about what the cost is because they might not sign up. And two is we don't talk to people about what the cost is because they might not sign up. We paint it as if come to Jesus and everything will be wonderful. And there's a sense in which that's true. But there's another sense in which there's a huge demand because he wants all of us. And when he gets all of us, the payback is unbelievable. And so what we end up is half-hearted Christians living half-hearted lives. in a world that is quite wholehearted about sin. But it's all changing, because there's a whole bunch of people here who are becoming increasingly abandoned to the King. And people can see that that's real, and they actually want it, because this is the real gospel. This is the real gospel that really works. And Jesus says to us, come higher, come higher. And we say, will it hurt? He goes, of course it will. Come on. Come higher, come higher. Is it going to cost me? Absolutely. Come on. So we're praying for not just renewal. Renewal's great, but we want revival. And God is speaking to us through these prophecies about revival to reach the lost, not in dribs and drabs, but to see them coming through and coming through and coming through. I don't know about you, I've got utter confidence in the gospel. I've got utter confidence in the power of Jesus to absolutely change lives. I've got utter confidence in the blood of Jesus. And as we pray tonight, part of this is praying for us that we enter the promised land of all that's been prophesied over us. And that promised land includes the lost. Fundamentally includes the lost. Fundamentally includes not just renewal, but revival. So that we should also pray for breakthrough in those places where we've persevered, with those people with whom we have persevered, and we need supernatural increase. But there's just one more thing to say, and this is just in case anyone might need prayer a little bit later on. To be able to communicate the gospel, you need to believe the gospel. And if you, as a Christian, are still in those places where you believe that there's some bits of your life that Jesus can't touch, there's some areas where you can't be forgiven or set free, there are some areas that you just can't give up because it will be too costly, there are some areas where you can't trust Jesus, then you come and see me, and we can do business with God together. Because I've got the trump card, and I dares you. Now, I hope that's given you some fuel for praying. And I've no idea what Teresa's going to do next, but I know it's going to be great. So no pressure there. So to give you a few moments, I'm going to pray, okay? Yeah. Lord, we thank you for the glorious privilege of being your children. We thank you that you're giving us a remit, not just to kind of dip one toe in the darkness and then run away, but to run into the darkness, shining your light and rescuing. We thank you that there is nothing that we need to fear. We thank you that you reign supreme. We thank you that your will and your way is perfect. And now as we come to spend more time worshiping and interceding, we ask that you will stir our faith and stir our hearts. We ask that you will help us to walk and run in step with the Spirit right now. That we will be partnering with you in seeing your kingdom come where we live, in our church, in this city. Holy Spirit, again, we just ask you to do your work among us. We ask that you will destroy and just push away doubt and unbelief, that you will push away fear, that you'll push away apathy and indifference and complacency, that you'll push away those things that would keep us from being sold out for you. And right now, you'd help us to increasingly fall in love with Jesus and be utterly full of that passion and compassion to reach out to the lost that you are about and that sent you to this earth. in your precious name. Amen.